This program is made possible by the giving of the God-called partners of Renner Ministries. Get ready for a teaching that feeds your spirit and your mind, where the Word is the anchor in uncertain times, and doctrine doesn't bend to culture. We keep it simple, but dive deep, revealing a truth that strengthens us, a love that emboldens, and a mission that touches the world. Let's join Rick Renner.
Hey friends, this is Rick Renner, and I'm standing on the balcony of our hotel right in front of Mount Ararat. It is just so beautiful. I wish that I could pick you up and bring you here to see this, but since I can't, I decided to bring it to you through this documentary type program. But you know, I wrote a book which is called Fallen Angels, Giants, Monsters in the World Before the Flood, how the events of Noah's Ark and the Flood are relevant to the end of the age. This book has more than 300 pieces of art and illustrations and graphics to really walk you into this story. And the foreword is written by my friend Perry Stone and Joseph Z. You're going to dive into this book and you are going to love it. And you should order several because I'm sure it's a book you're going to want to share with somebody else. But in today's segment, we're going to actually crawl on top of the ruins of the Ark. We're going to walk from the bottom all the way to the bow of the ship. And with my friend Andrew Jones, we're going to talk to you about this massive ship-shaped object, which is laying on the slopes of Mount Judy, which is one of the lower mountains in the Ararat mountain range. And you're going to love this program, so you stay with me all the way to the end. But now, it's time to go to the bus so we can get started. Everybody remember, this is a mud flow from the top of the mountain all the way to the bottom. You guys see the top of the mountain? That's where they built the first village after the flood. Well, guys, you're looking at the ruins of Noah's Ark. Denise, what do you think about what you're seeing?
I think it's amazing. Rick, are those the ribs?
Those are the ribs of the ship, Denise.
Oh, ow.
Heather, I noticed you've been crying. Why are you crying?
I'm completely overwhelmed by, this is where we come from. This is where it all started and it all began.
Joseph?
It's so surreal, Rick. I didn't realize it would be so massive, even from this angle.
300 cubits,
it's
515
massive.
Feet long.
You can really see what it is standing here.
And Joel?
It's speechless what you're looking at. It's just amazing.
Oh.
The size, the width, where it's located, what's behind it. And to think this is where life came out of to restart. It's just amazing.
Paul?
I'm grateful that I get to be here.
Well, I think that we need to do more than just stand and look at it from here. We need to go down. But Andrew, we're going to cross this big gully.
Yes, right over here.
So we need to be really careful, guys. This is a little treacherous. So hold on to somebody, use your walking stick, and let's go down to the bottom where we can see a view of the Ark from the stern of the ship, which is quite an amazing view. Let's go.
Oh my goodness, look at that. Get down there.
There's a massive gully which comes all the way down this right side of the Ark. Andrew, why is this gully here?
You can hear the sound of water.
Oh yeah, in fact, this is a lot deeper than when I was last here.
Every spring, we have storms, each winter too, and it's creating a deep gully right here, and it's changing the mud flow, but the boat has always stayed the same.
Wow.
In fact, you can look at these sides of the boat. From this angle, you can see more of those rib timbers, the humps sticking out on this western side.
Wow. You know, they're very clear, and they are symmetrically very even. It's amazing.
Yeah, I think Rod did metal detector work along that edge, and he was getting readings every 9 feet.
Every 9 feet, there's a rib, and you can even see the ribs protruding from the other side of the arc.
Yeah.
This is just amazing.
Amazing.
It is amazing.
No, I want to point out one other thing on this angle here. You can see this where the western side of the boat, it's about like a 20-foot drop or like 10 meters maybe, but you can see this earthen part like of the mud flow that's fallen away. So in 1978 and 79, there was an earthquake, and it basically popped the boat out. All the sides fell away and revealed the boat, more than what you saw in the 59 photos.
So this is why this is so different today than the earlier photography.
Exactly. The mud flow was even, basically, to the top of the boat formation.
And if this was a natural formation, that earthquake would have just leveled the whole thing.
Yeah, the boat would not have stayed there. It would have just been crumbly, just like the rest of the mud flow.
It's been held together by gopher wood and pitch.
The pitch, yes.
It is amazing. It is still together. But let's go ahead and let's very carefully. This is very treacherous, and please don't get too close to the edge.
We'll go this way.
We're going to go down and come from the south and come up to the lower end of the stern of the ship.
Kind of follow this ridge down. Do you want somebody on the other side?
Step right there.
I'm gonna step right here.
Thank you.
Thank you, brother.
So now we're on the downhill end of the ship. This is the stern of the ship. Please tell us about this.
Well, what we're looking at here is the rounded end. And if you remember in the drone photographs, we talked about how if this was a natural formation formed around a rock, then the pointed end would be downhill and the rounded end where everything
would be at the top.
Yeah, building up is at the top, and this is the complete opposite. And from this point to the very top is 300 royal Egyptian cubits. This matches the biblical account.
Well, honestly, from this position, it is enormous.
It's enormous.
I mean, it is what God asked Noah to do was no small task. This kind of makes me feel like my life assignment is small because, well, it took him 100 years.
Yeah.
Think of the resources and the manpower that was required to build this ship.
Yeah, now you're caked with mud.
Congratulations, we made it across the gully.
We did it.
No slipping, no falling, no tripping, praise the Lord. And Andrew, where are we headed now?
We're going to go up this western side, which is about a 30-foot drop, and you'll be able to see up close where these rib timbers are. And I'll show you a spot where they actually core drilled into the boat and found something really interesting.
Amazing. When we get there, will you tell us what they found?
Yes, I will.
All right. Shall we continue?
Let's go, guys.
All right. Team, we've just come up around the lower end of the stern. Now we're walking up the right side, and what you're looking at are the timbers of the ship. Andrew, please tell us about these.
Yeah, so this is the spot where you're seeing the erosion around where there are solid or broken up pieces of rib timber underneath the surface. So everything's covered in mud, but below the surface you have these solid pieces. And how we know that is because during the electrical resistivity scans we did in 2014, they were trying to put the pins in and one of the spots on this western side, and they hit a solid 20 foot by 2 feet wide rock, you know, petrified wood is rock, and it was 2 inches below the surface, and they didn't know what it was, but it bent the steel pin.
Wow.
And when they got the ERT results back, it showed a solid rib timber still preserved below the surface there.
And so we're actually looking at the eroded rib timbers of Noah's Ark.
Yes.
Can you all see how symmetrical they are?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
This would not occur in natural erosion.
Right.
So when it rains and erosion takes place, it's really exposing these rib timbers. Now, you're looking at these, think how many there had to be to support a structure this size. Again, the enormity of this project, the money and the manpower and the assignment that God gave to Noah to construct this ship. And look where you are, look below. You're looking into the valley below, and just in the distance is lower, lesser Ararat and greater Ararat, and
the here lava we are. Beds
the
there.
Lava beds, and lava we're beds. On Mount Judy.
Yeah, and we're right in the middle where this area was not exposed in 1960. And only because of that earthquake, this whole area fell out. And now you're actually seeing the sides of the boat because of that 79 earthquake.
So the earthquake really helped reveal the shape of the
it
ship.
It did.
Wow. Well, Andrew, where are we gonna go next?
I'm gonna show you that special site where they core drilled into the side of the boat and found something special.
Please take us there.
Let's go.
There's so much for you to show us here, but tell me about this particular site.
Well, right beside you, on this wall here.
You're talking about right here?
Yeah, where you see the line where the water's been coming down.
That's a rib timber, isn't it?
Yes, it's basically going around the rib timber. You can see the other edge at the top.
You sure can.
It's about 2 feet wide, and about 2 to 3 inches in is this 20-foot column of solid rib timber, petrified wood.
And that's where those metal stakes were bent when they were trying to drive it into the side.
Correct, because for the ERT scans, you have to drive in these metal stakes to do the scan, and they couldn't get them in, so they had to actually move them to the left or the right of the fossilized wood.
Now tell us, what is an ERT scan?
Well, that uses electricity to peer below the surface. And so as the electricity current is going through the surface, it will hit different things like water or air pockets or, you know, wet soil, dry soil, rocks. And then the computer software can interpret how resistive that material is and make a 3D model.
And it's those ERT scans that have revealed all the right angle structures and cavities and rooms.
Well, some of them, but most of those were found by the GPR, which is used as radar to
which
peer below the ground.
Which is ground-penetrating radar, correct?
Exactly. So these are two different techniques that let you peer below the surface and not have to destroy the site to look what's below the ground.
And what is this hole?
Yeah, so this is really cool. So Ron Wyatt did a radar scan here back in the 80s, and he saw that there was a cavity about 10 feet in to the side of the boat.
A real cavity.
A cavity. And so he said, let's core drill. He got permission to core drill in, this like 3 meters in.
So you're talking about that hole right there.
That's the hole, yep.
That's all that's left of that.
Yeah, it used to be
drilling.
Almost completely open, but now it's kind of filled in. But they took material out, this matrix of mud and other things, and they put it in a Ziploc bag, took it back to a laboratory in America, and the lab technician was pulling it apart under a microscope, and he discovered red animal hair and a man-made fiber.
This which you would not find in a natural jig formation.
Yeah, 3 meters in, 10 feet in to the side of this boat that just, this was all covered before the 1979 earthquake. And so they went, you know, after the earthquake exposed the side, they drilled in and they found this material, animal hair and a man-made fiber. So what else would be down there?
So we are looking at a giant ship covered in mud.
Yes, that's it.
What do you guys think about this?
It's amazing. I have to say, when we came around the ridge, I was so moved. I bursted into tears because it's become so real.
Yeah.
It becomes so real and so personal, and the massiveness of what they did.
Even what we're talking about is a revelation, because God's revealing something through this. As you said, earthquakes revealed it to different times, and I believe it's being revealed again for our time.
Joel, I'm just thinking about all the logic. God is very logical, and he's a supernatural God. And I'm just thinking about all the things that are left behind, all the breadcrumbs that we can find through logic and science.
I like that.
And it makes so much sense what we're seeing.
Denise?
Well, I just think of the miracle that it's being still held together.
You know, in a certain way, it disappeared for all those thousands of years.
But it was still there.
But the mud preserved it.
Yeah, wow. For this time, the time we're alive today.
You know, it's also amazing to me that if you study what all the ancient voices wrote about the Ark, many of them talked about just coming down from the Silk Road, which is right at the very top of the ridge, just above where the Ark first landed.
When we get to the top, I'll point it out.
Well, they all wrote about how they would take a detour from the Silk Road, come down to the Ark, and they would take pieces of it from the side where it was covered with the bitumen and the tar and the pitch, and they would make them into little amulets that they would carry. But of course, that's when the Ark was about 1,500 feet higher up the side of the hill. It's slid down the hill over thousands of years to this location, and now it is held in this place. And do you all see what I mean when I said everything around it moves?
Absolutely, you really can.
But this object never moves. That's because it's not mud. This is Noah's Ark. Well, I think we need to begin up to the top of the Ark, shall we?
Yes.
Andrew, our team is waiting to go to the top of the ship. But every time I've been here, I've loved to stop right here and look back at this side of the Ark, because you can see these timbers that are so symmetrical right along the side of the ship.
You can see where the water has eroded around them, so they protrude out, and there are even intervals. In fact, Ron Wyatt did metal detector scans on the top of this ridge, and every 9 feet he was getting the reading. This beep, beep, beep.
And then also when they did some of the ground penetrating radar, what did they find right here?
Yeah, so in 2019 we did the GPR on the inside of the boat, but 20 feet down.
Which is right up on the top.
Exactly. And so 20 feet down in this area, which is about ground level where we're at right now on the outside, if you were to go inside this boat structure, you'll find these right angles that we found.
Which would have been rooms and compartments.
Very possible, yes.
So if we were able to excavate from here, we might actually walk right into those chambers.
That's right.
And you know, you showed me the most recent scans, so there's actually an empty corridor that runs from the bow of the ship right through the center of the ship. And the specialist who examined them said it is still empty. And if you were short enough, you probably could still walk right through the center of the ship.
That's amazing.
It's totally amazing. Well, thank you, but I'm looking at our team, and yeah, they're patiently waiting.
Well, let's go to the
top.
Because
they want to go to the top of the Ark. So let's go.
Okay.
Look at Aaron.
A little windy. Hold on to your hats.
Well, hey, we made it to the top of Noah's Ark.
Yeah.
Look at your shoes. Look at your pants. We're a little muddy up here, but Sister Denise, we made it.
I know.
And look at her. She looks like a beauty queen on the top of Noah's Ark.
On the top of Noah's Ark.
And guys, what do you feel?
A sense of prophetic destiny. It's profound.
Heather?
Overwhelmed. It's, I know we keep saying it, but if you come here, you'll see how enormous and massive it is. It's just majestic.
Well, you know, from here, you can see the stern of the ship. You can see the bow of the ship. You can see the perimeter of the ship. And if you look behind, right now it's covered with clouds, but you can see Lesser Ararat. You can see Greater Ararat. It didn't land over there.
No.
It landed on the mountains of Ararat. That's exactly where we are. But hey, there's a big question, which a lot of people use to debunk this site. And that is this big rock we're sitting on. How did this big rock end up in the middle of Noah's Ark? And Andrew, I think we need to answer that question in the next episode.
Can't wait to tell you.
And then I think that our team needs to take a few minutes to walk all around the perimeter of the ship so they can really feel where they are.
In the next program.
Paul, umbrellas!
Are the Z's in? All right. Are you ready to see something else?
What is it?
Are you ready to join us? Let's go.
Someone has asked, what is the connection between the great flood of Noah and the last days? Well, in Matthew chapter 24, verse 37, Jesus said, exactly what was happening in the world in the days before the flood will be replicated just before the coming of Jesus. So whatever was happening in the world before the flood, Jesus said, it's going to be replicated in some way at the very end of the age. And we're living in the very end of the age. So whatever was happening before the flood is going to happen again in our time. That's why I've written my book called Fallen Angels, Giants, Monsters, and the World Before the Flood. We need to know what was happening before the flood so that we are prepared for what we're going to see between now and the time that Jesus comes. And my friends, Jesus made a great connection between what was happening in the world before the flood and what will happen in the world before His coming in the last days.
Are you ready for what's coming next? The Bible warns of a moment coming soon, suddenly and without warning, when Jesus will return to rapture His church. Right after that, the Antichrist will rise, deceive the nations, and unleash unprecedented deception and destruction on the earth. In Rick Renner's powerful new book, The Rapture, The Antichrist, and the Tribulation, An End Times Countdown, and What Happens Next, you'll discover what the Bible really says about these prophetic events, what signs to watch for, and how to stay spiritually strong in the final days ahead. Pre-order your copy today at the special price of $21.75. But there's more. In his powerful book, Fallen Angels, Giants, Monsters, and the World Before the Flood, Rick uncovers stunning biblical and archaeological insights about the days of Noah, revealing what really happened before the flood and what it means for our future. This beautifully bound 500-page book is available now for just $29. And don't miss the 10-part series Discovering Noah's Ark, available in digital or physical formats starting at just $30. Call now or visit Renner.org to order these eye-opening resources and prepare for what's coming next.
Hey, this is Rick Renner, and today I'm in the Tulsa office. And this is the conference room or the boardroom. This room is used all the time for strategic planning for the gospel and for the teaching of the Bible, which we're taking around the world. And all around this room, we have scriptures about wise counselor and wise planning. Of course, we have the Great Commission on the screen behind us. And we even have photographs of all the board of directors of Rick Renner Ministries, who are real board of directors and regularly provide us with the most wonderful godly counsel and advice. But right now, we're in the process of paying off this facility in Tulsa. And guess what? We've already paid off 78% of the whole project. And that is just amazing. If you consider how long we've been doing this, it's really not that long. But because of the grace of God and because of people like you, we are really making significant progress. And when we're finished paying off the debt on this building, it's going to release all these finances to help us take the teaching of the Bible further to the ends of the earth. And if you're not already a part of our ministry expansion project to pay off this facility, we're inviting you to join us and to become a part of our giving team. We're very serious about what we do. We're very careful with our finances, and we're really grateful for you and for every person who is a partner with our ministry. So if you want to become a part of the giving team, we welcome you, and together we're going to remove this debt and release finances to go further in taking the teaching of the Bible to the ends of the earth.
Hey friends, this is Rick Renner, and I'm so glad you've been with me today. As you can see, I took a part of my film crew to the lower mountains of Ararat to examine and document all of the sites around the ruins of the real Noah's Ark. And we've created a documentary for you called Discovering Noah's Ark. The subtitle says a full documentary about the ruins of the real Noah's Ark in the lower mountains of Ararat. My friends, it really is there laying on a slope in the lower mountains of Ararat. And because I can't pack you up and take you there with me, I decided to bring all of this to you because I want you to see and experience these events which were connected with Noah's Ark. Wow. And right now we're also offering you my book, which is called Fallen Angels, Giants, Monsters in the World Before the Flood. And the forewords were written by my friend Perry Stone and Joseph Z. The subtitle says how the events of Noah's Ark and the flood are relevant to the end of the age. Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, it will be replicated again just before the coming of the Son of Man. So we need to understand what was happening before the flood and what brought the judgment. Jesus said, whatever was happening then is going to be replicated again at the end of the age. So we need to know what was happening then, so we'll know what we're going to experience as we come closer to the rapture of the church. And all of that is in this book. And I really, sincerely want you to order this book. You can order this, and you can order the documentary by going online right now or just give us a call. And when you reach out to us, let us know how to pray for you, and we will really pray. But I'll see you in the next episode. Until then, remember Ecclesiastes 8:4, where the word of a king is, there is power.
If you've never received Jesus as your Savior and Lord, now is the time for you to experience a new life Jesus has to give you. Pray this prayer with me right now. Lord, I repent of my sin and receive you as my Savior and Lord. Wash away my sin and make me completely new. I thank you that my sin is removed and Satan no longer has any right to lay claim on me. I faithfully promise that I will serve you as my Lord for the rest of my life. Amen.
If you just prayed the prayer of salvation with us, would you please let us know by going to renner.org/salvation? We would love to connect with you. Thank you for joining Rick Renner today. For more information about Renner Ministries and product resources, visit renner.org. This program was made possible by the giving of the God-called partners of Renner Ministries.